This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to Issues of the Environment. From the time we're little, we're told, drink our milk. Dairy, it's one of the five primary food groups, and we're now learning that the equipment being used in milking and processing milk, well, it may be dangerous to our health. I'm David Fair, and the contaminants we're talking about are called phthalates. It's a group of chemicals used to soften and increase the flexibility of plastic and vinyl. My guest today is the executive director of the Portland, Maine-based Environmental Health Strategy Center, Mike Belvo. Thanks for the time today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, most happy to be here.
Have I accurately described phthalates?
Yes, they are a class of hormone-disrupting chemicals that increasingly the science has linked to reproductive harm and even harm to brain development, and especially during pregnancy or infancy.
Right. I was going to mention that most of us, we drink a lot of milk when we're younger, not so much necessarily when we get older. So it definitely puts younger, perhaps the elderly, more at risk as well?
Yes. Well, these chemicals, unfortunately, are widely used throughout the food supply chain. We have a very industrialized system for food production, including dairy. So at every point along the supply chain, there is plastic tubing, rubber materials, conveyor belts, plastic disposable food service gloves, and each of these materials may contain phthalates, and they're continually shed or released from the rubber or plastic, and they get into the food supply, starting at the farm, but also in processing plants, even from packaging, and during food preparation when people handle food with these plastic gloves.
Now, we're also frequently told about the benefits of organic products. Are those exempt from this, or are we seeing phthalates turn up in organic products as well?
Well, unfortunately, our testing revealed that there was no difference in the phthalate levels between organic dairy products and conventional dairy products. In a way, that's not surprising. The organic standards that exist specify against the use of pesticides and hormones, but they don't address the chemicals that are in food processing materials. These food contact chemicals are not restricted under the organic standard, so they're showing up in organic as well.
The Centers for Disease Control reports that nearly every U.S. resident has measurable levels of phthalate metabolites. Now, I can't recall ever being tested for it or even having a conversation with any of my doctors. Is it something we should start requesting that our doctors monitor?
It's not routinely tested for, and because exposure is so widespread, the only thing you might learn from testing is whether you're higher or lower than the national average. So we think attention is better invested in finding and eliminating the sources of phthalates. Consumers can do a little bit, but unfortunately you can't shop or eat your way out of the problem. But by minimizing your dependence on processed food and eating a healthy diet, you also will be reducing your exposure to phthalates.
Once again, you're listening to Issues of the Environment. We continue on 89.1 WEMU with Mike Belvo. Mike is Executive Director of the Environmental Health Strategy Center. Well, you mentioned that it is our responsibility to try and do the best we can to avoid or eliminate exposure to these phthalates. Is there a way that we can check labeling for these, or are there just obviously going to be products where we do not know?
Well, it's another symptom of our badly broken safety system for food contact chemicals, that typically the ingredients of the packaging material are not indicated on the label of the product, and some of the ingredients may have picked up phthalates or similar chemicals way upstream, at the farm or during processing. But a couple things we can do is try to reduce our dependence on flexible vinyl plastic. Many of the uses of these phthalates are to soften that plastic and make it flexible. But what we really need is for manufacturers and government to fix our system. And the good news is that safer alternatives to these chemicals are widely available.
Such as?
Well, such as safer plastics and rubber. Alternatives to flexible vinyl like polyethylene is a much cleaner plastic.
Still made of chemicals, though.
It is true, but everything is made of chemicals. So the trick is can we get to green chemistry? Can we get to truly safer alternatives that carry out the same function? And there are such alternatives to these phthalates. In fact, the good news is the market has begun to move away from these substances. They used to be, for example, in cling film, saran wrap type mm-hmm. material. That was phased out. So now we need to go after the other sources, the plastic tubing, the conveyor belts, even the plastic liners of jar lids in food and bottle caps often contain these materials. And we need to require or encourage the manufacturers to switch to these safer alternatives.
Would making the switch be a more expensive prospect for the producers and manufacturers and then ultimately drive up the cost of milk and other products?
Not much. I mean, there's a slight cost in, you know, finding the phthalates and a transition to the safer alternative for the manufacturer, kind of retooling. But, you know, the good news for these chemicals is that commercially available alternatives are widely available at comparable cost. It's just that because our chemical safety system is so badly broken, there's no mandate from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to find and eliminate the phthalates, and companies are left to their own devices. So they need to hear from consumers, and we need to get FDA back on the job, ultimately.
Once again, this is 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Mike Belvo of the Environmental Health Strategy Center on issues of the environment. And you mentioned the FDA. Do we need to also take a look at what the EPA is doing in terms of regulation to address the issue of phthalates?
Yes, because, well, some action has been taken. So, for example, phthalates are now largely banned in children's toys and childcare articles.
But let it go on the food.
Right. They're still allowed to be used in food contact material. So, you know, the authority of the federal government is kind of fractured between different agencies. FDA is supposed to regulate food contact chemicals, but the law that they operate under is 60 years old, has never been modernized, and they have literally grandfathered in, allowing the use of about 5,000 industrial chemicals in food contact materials. So they haven't gone back to reassess the safety, and with the modern science that has been uncovered in the last 10 to 20 years, we know that very low doses of these hormone-disrupting chemicals like phthalates pose significant and lifelong health risks.
So clearly you've pointed out that there is a lack of regulation. It's clearly insufficient. Yeah. So if I put you in charge, what would need to happen in terms of regulation of phthalates in food contact items?
Well, that, in a way, it's easy because we know that safer alternatives are widely available. We know that there's demonstrable health risks. So we would just put the food industry and its suppliers on notice that by a reasonable date certain, they would be required to disclose any use and then plan to orderly transition to safer alternatives. It's not really that difficult, except we have a lack of leadership and political will to make that work, and consumers have been left in the dark because these chemicals are not disclosed as being present in the packaging or processing materials or the food itself.
You talk about political will. Have you detected any that would move us in the direction you're talking about into a more safe future?
Well, the good news is that the public concern about industrial chemicals in the food supply is at an all-time high. In fact, one of the food industry surveys shows that the consumers have greater or equal concerns about food safety related to chemicals as they relate to, say, bacterial infection in the food. So with that kind of consumer concern, that's an indicator that we can drive positive change. We just need to continue to harness it and focus it on major manufacturers. When they hear from their customers, they do respond because their dollars are at stake, and eventually our elected leaders will follow up, perhaps starting at the state level. Several states have begun to pass laws to phase out dangerous chemicals in food contact materials. So between market leadership and state policy leadership, eventually that'll ripen the moment for federal reform to get FDA back on its job.
Knowing what you know, has it changed the manner in which you eat and prepare food?
Well, I think as a matter of good health, we should try to eat minimal amounts of processed food and healthy, fresh fruits and vegetables, I am a little more attentive than I used to be. Again, we do the best we can at our family. You know, we fed our kids mac and cheese, not knowing that the cheese powder in the packets in the dry box mixes had the highest levels of any dairy product we tested.
Well, there goes my childhood.
But we can make a difference to some extent just by eating healthily for good health general reasons, and then get involved. Don't be a complacent consumer. Ask your favorite brands what they're doing to take care of these problems, and that'll begin to make a difference. Or get involved with a consumer campaign, because when we link people together, the decision makers start to take notice.
Well, I thank you for the time, and I thank you for sharing your expertise today, Mike.
It was a pleasure.
That is the director of the Portland, Maine-based Environmental Health Strategies Center, Mike Belvaux. He was our guest on this week's Issues of the Environment. This weekly feature is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner and is available on demand at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.